do the roll call. Madam Clerk, you want to do the roll call?
I sure will. Jim Sykes, District 1.
Here.
Matthew Beck.
Here.
Ronald Arvin.
Here.
Steve Culligan.
Here.
Darcy Solomon.
Here.
Jim Culver.
Here.
Vern Halter. You do have a quorum, Mr. Mayor.
Very good. Congratulations. We've got everybody here. So, the agenda. Any comments on the agenda?
Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Culver, then Assemblymember Sykes. Mr. Sykes?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to remove Resolution 14024 from the consent agenda and remove Resolution 14025 from the consent agenda and Resolution 1406 from the consent agenda.
Okay.
All the others should be good.
That was the first three resolutions, 024, 025, 026. Anything else? Okay. So if there's no objections, we will proceed with the orders of the day. And let's stand. I'm going to ask Mr. Larry Ingalls to lead us in the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Just got one set of minutes. Any comments? Cities. We have Palmer here tonight. I don't see Palmer. I see Wasilla. Oh, there is. Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, staff. Doug Griffin, City Manager, City of Palmer. Very briefly tonight, not a whole lot to report. Just to let you know that I know there may be other marches, but the Choose Respect Parade is scheduled for March 27th. It's going to conclude or end at the Palmer Depot, and there will be a reception there. I don't know who might be representing the Parnell administration. Last year we were lucky enough to have the governor. I'm not so sure he will be back for his one of his events this year, but the other thing going on at the depot is we still continue to have farmers markets every Monday, so that's a continued activity to support our agriculture and our local farmers. And then finally, Monday we put down a new ice cover at the MTA Event Center, so that we now have our own flooring system that can go over ice without having to take it out, so we can have multiple events without having to remove the ice there. So that's a big step for us. We've been borrowing the ice cover or paying for it lately from the city of Wasilla, so that they've been nice enough to allow us to host some events with their facility. We've had to pay for it recently, but they were letting us use it free. And so we do appreciate Mayor Ruprecht and the city of Wasilla working cooperatively with us on that. But now we have the capability to do that on our own. So That's all I have this evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Wasilla.
Mayor DeVilvis, Assembly members, Burt Caudill, City of Wasilla. I have two things to bring up tonight. The first is, I'm sure everybody read in Frontiersman that our spice ordinance did not go through as written at the last council meeting, so it will be brought back up on March 24th for introduction and then for approval on April 14th. Second thing on your agenda tonight under public hearings, ordinance number 14-043 is adopting the City of Wasilla downtown area amendment, the comprehensive plan, and we would ask for approval on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Houston, school district.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly. Luke Fulp, Assistant Superintendent of Business and Operations, and I'll make this brief as well. I just have a
few announcements for upcoming events this week. We have one of the major events we have coming up Thursday, March 6th through Saturday is the Region 3 Northern Lights Conference Basketball Championship at Colony High School. So all three, Palmer, Wasilla, and Colony, will be represented there, both women's and boys' teams. And then we also have Matsu Central Student Art Show this Thursday, March 6th, from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. But I want to briefly just thank the Capital Projects Department and the staff here at the borough, because last week we had a great tour of Matsu Day School and Valley Pathways. Excited about those schools. Those projects are coming along, and we're looking forward to occupancy this summer. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Assembly PR. Oh, there was a joint meeting, wasn't there? Do you want to report on that, Mr.
Mayor? I'd be happy to, Mr. Mayor. We met and discussed the current building projects, which all seem to be on target or ahead of schedule. And we also looked at, we wanted to look at the budget, but of course there's some uncertainty with regards to the fiscal changes and things happening in Juneau, so that's a little bit on hold with regards to that. But the good news, continuing forward with the discussion, there is a committee, I believe Clint Vardal, is it Vardal, is that how you... He's working. Is that how you say it, Vardaman? Dennis?
Vardaman.
Yeah, Vardaman. Thank you. He's the chairperson of a subcommittee working on the consolidation of the fleet services, and we've had good discussion about that, and that work continues.
Thank you. Mr. Manager, this is your spot.
Yes. Good evening. Two big issues that's kind of dominating discussion down in Juneau. One is a pipeline and the state's participation, potential participation. It'll be taking public testimony in the next couple of days. And then also, too, the PERS issue. The governor has proposed putting $3 billion into the PERS program. As we discussed, there seems to be changes on that front, but we'll be on top of that. I'm also hearing good things about the potential for Kubota Bridge. That seems to be getting some quiet traction, and so maybe this is the time it comes forward. Just want to give you an update on MV Susitna. We have been receiving interest. Your port director has been working, ferreting out the questions and opportunities. However, I do not have an agreement for you to jump up and down on this evening, nor do I have any type of agreement yet, but we'll be working on that. The last thing we have is Assemblymember Culver and the Fish Commission.
This week you have Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, I assume this is over to you, Mr. Culver.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor. It gives me great pleasure to recognize the commitment of our Fish and Wildlife Commission and our staff, including Patty and Stefan, supporting the efforts of at the recent Board of Fisheries meeting, and our consultant, Mac Menard. So we have a certificate for you. If you all want to come up front here, we can give you those. Better announce everybody by name. We have Ben Allen, Andy Couch, Howard Delo, Jennifer Eamon, Larry Engel, Bruce Knowles, staff Frankie Barker, staff Patty Sullivan, Stefan Hinman, and Mac Menard.
So, our wonderful staff went above and beyond and created these citations for you, signed by the mayor and assembly, and says, well, let me just get them handed out here. We got a fish on. I can't give myself one. And we have one for Mac. Well, everybody's here but Mac, so get in a little tighter so we can get a photo here. I'll read it here. Whereas the Matanuska Susitna Borough Fish and since 2007 to allow more fish to pass through Upper Cook Inlet and spawning grounds of the Madison Drainage. And whereas the plummeting coho, chinook, and sockeye salmon runs are at a crisis level, and the need for conservation in Upper Cook Inlet was a necessity for the sustainability of salmon in the Madison Borough. Whereas the Madison Borough Fish and Wildlife Commission is comprised of volunteers, and they gave unselfishly of their time and expertise. And whereas the commission presented a proposal to the Board of Fisheries to help return salmon stocks in the Matsu, and whereas the work of the Madison Borough Fish and Wildlife Commission, through the work of the commission, the Alaska Board of Fisheries agreed by unanimous vote to a new framework of managing the commercial fisheries in Cook Inlet in an effort to allow Matthew-bound fish to reach spawning grounds. Therefore, be it resolved that the Madison City Borough Assembly honors and applauds the members of the Madison City Borough Fish and Wildlife Commission and borough staff for the historic work, for their historic work to bring the fish back to borough water.
I will certainly recognize you, Mr. Engels.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, we certainly are very respectful of the honor bestowed on us this evening, and this is very appreciative. But I think speaking on behalf of each of the commissioners, we find this is a team effort. You folks sitting up there were a big part of that team, others in the audience. It took that type of effort to get the issues corrected, as we've seen. So we feel very proud that we were a part of the catalyst of an effort you can't believe. The mayors of our community were there. You, Mr. Mayor, were there. Assembly people were there. There were people, letters. There were something like 400 and some personal comments sent to before the board meeting would start, and we had a large share of those in the community around here. We had our Chamber of Commerce, countless letters from those folks. So this was something that the community really, really got behind of, and I'm very proud of my many years up here working in fish and wildlife issues to see this kind of a get-together. It's unfortunate our runs have to be in such poor shape to catalyze this kind of event, but it happened. I'm very proud to be part of it, and thank you folks very much for your part. Thank you.
Yeah. Assemblymember Sykes.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Even though everybody got a certificate, there's one who didn't get a certificate, and that's Assemblymember Jim Culver. I know that he put in some work, and I've been attending the Fish and Wildlife Board meeting since I came on board here. And I got to tell you, everybody that I saw was working really hard, and it is a teamwork effort. There's still work to be done, but this is really an incredible victory, and it really showed that people can come together and work for a unified purpose, and it just gladdens my heart beyond belief. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I guess the scary thing is that it's a political process, so it's good for 1 year, I guess, or 3 years. And I will be attending Thursday morning RC&D breakfast, which is dedicated to a presentation on the Kenai Kings. So if any of you guys want to join me for breakfast in there, I'd be glad to have you. It's at the Egan Center, 7 o'clock, I believe. And there's free parking there at that hour, too. So okay. Thank you, Mr. Manager. Mr. Attorney.
That was quick. I have one moment here. So rail litigation, oral argument was scheduled for March 20th, which is in a couple of weeks. However, about an hour ago, received an order from the court on the summary judgment motion that was supposed to be argued over. The court found that argument would not add anything and therefore issued a ruling on the case. So this is the Clean Water Act litigation over the core permit on the claim that we failed to consider that the surface or the core failed to consider the elevated rail alternative. The court denied that. Essentially, we win because there was no practical other alternative. Insufficient evaluation of wetlands fragmentation. Again, the court found that the rail line and the decision to put that line in and where and the mitigation measures were adequately dealt with. However, there is a part that one of the claims, the third claim, was the wetlands functional assessment, and the court has called it potentially flawed. So a wetlands functional assessment is used to determine how much money you have to pay and then the overall impact to the wetlands. This is the wetlands mitigation credit and the wetlands mitigation bank that the borough actually, a completely separate sphere, helped set up. And so the functional assessment for the railroad that the railroad submitted to the Corps of Engineer that the Corps adopted found that just over half an acre of the 95.8 acres to be filled were high functioning. Most of them were moderate to low functioning. And the reason this is important is this was submitted in 2010, but in 2008, when they were still selecting the route, first assessment identified 87 to 99% of this route as having high functioning wetlands. What happened was there was a reevaluation with two of the criteria taken out. And so the court noted that both EPA and U.S. Fish and Wildlife objected, and federal EIS noted the high functioning wetlands and couldn't see where the Corps had addressed that. The court wrote, "The administrative record spans 11,000 pages in 19 three-ring binders, occupies three tables and one sofa in the court's chambers." So basically, at the end of the order, what it does is the court did was affirm the first two claims that, no, the plaintiffs lose, the Corps and interveners, that's us, win. But on the third claim, by April 7th, we're supposed to file a responsive pleading identifying where in the record we think it is that the Corps adequately evaluated the functional, the impact. And then, of course, he allows a response time for the plaintiffs. And then, if not, if the Corps is unable to support its position, and of course we're going to help because we intervened, the court will enter an order finding that the Corps relied on a flawed functional assessment. And if the court does that, what we're going to have to do is properly evaluate the 2010 functional analysis, potentially redo the functional assessment. So that's where we are. The order, I'm mentioning, saying all this publicly because the order is a public document. There's nothing in here and nothing I've said that's privileged or anything like that. It was entered today, this afternoon, and March 20th, 2014 hearing was vacated. So we will be discussing responses and filing a timely response, I'm sure, and I will keep you advised. There is no stay of work. There is no order granting an injunction or anything like that. So it's a win on two fronts and an ask for more information with potential results on the third. So that's all I have.
Thank you, I think. Madam Clerk?
The clerk's report is in your red folder, and you will notice there's some bolded meetings on the clerk's report. That is the suggested budget schedule. So I want to give you time for the assembly to take a look at that pretty quickly, Mr. Mayor, to see if there's anything else they may want to change at this time.
Is this resulting from the resolution?
No, Mr. Mayor, I have not included dates in regards to that resolution as of yet. I do have suggested dates if that resolution passes.
Okay. So are there any objections to these dates that are in bold? Man, there's a bunch of them. One, two.
Mr. Mayor, point of information.
Creating more.
Yeah, I think there, normally we have actually two more. We've got one for the actual budget presentations by department staff, and last year was the first time I think we did it in a day. And then the only meeting that we added was one more budget deliberation, Mr. Mayor. We normally have three scheduled. We scheduled four.
Assemblymember Sykes.
I just had a question for the clerk. Does this, I don't see that this reflects the meeting that I requested about setting priorities.
It's down further under meetings on the second page. I've got to ask the assembly about two meetings to schedule. It's my next item to talk about.
Okay. Sorry, I got ahead of you.
Okay. Assemblymember Solomon.
Yeah. I see you got two meetings on tax day. And that's one issue, but why one at 10 in the morning and one at 6 in the afternoon kind of obliterates an entire day for me. And I would imagine for most anybody that works a day job, and I'm just curious as to why they're 8 hours apart.
Well, the budget presentation work session, the last time we did all of them in one day, you guys were here for a long time. And they did request the right before the regular meeting, we could look at changing that date to later in the week, which would work fine also on another day.
I'm just looking at 10 in the morning. I don't care if it's that day.
Mr. Manager?
Yes, this is the opportunity for us to present each of our department's budget plans for 2015. And that... historically takes pretty much a good portion of the day to do so. I think was it last year, the year before, we split it into 2 days, and at that time the assembly was not overjoyed doing this twice, so we tried to do it in one day. That evening, we're looking at having the budget brought before you for adoption.
For an introduction. Introduction that night.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm optimistic. Introduction.
You're very optimistic. We still have public hearings after that. Okay. I don't hear any objections, Madam Clerk.
Assemblymember Solomon.
Assemblymember Solomon.
Could we have it in Wasilla?
We've done that before, Madam Clerk.
If the Assembly wants me to hold the work session and regular meeting in Wasilla, we could do that. Or if you want to, since there's two meetings that day, we can hold the work session in Wasilla and come back over here for the regular meeting. It's up to the assembly.
I don't hear a motion.
Assemblymember Sykes.
Assemblymember Sykes.
I would prefer to have a regular meeting here, but if we want to meet, have the other meeting over in Wasilla, if it'll help Assemblymember Solomon out, sure. But I don't object if we have both meetings in Wasilla.
Is that a motion?
No. That's a non-objection.
I'm sorry I brought it up. Just forget
okay.
it.
Okay.
I just was more curious as to why than the desire to change it. So
yeah.
Sorry to waste your time.
Last year, for one thing, we didn't have much. Well, we were in borrowed chambers at that time anyway. Madam Clerk.
At the last joint meeting with the Municipality of Anchorage, it was requested that another meeting be scheduled 6 months apart. The clerk from Anchorage has suggested Friday, June 6th at noon in Eagle River. Would that work for the Assembly? Is that a meeting the Assembly would like to? No. We've got Assemblymember Culver over here.
Assemblymember Culver.
Well, if we had 6 months to the last time we met, that would probably be fall, wouldn't it?
That was January, so 6 months away was June-ish.
Yeah, I don't want to stack any more meetings in summer if we can help it. If we can punt that till fall, it'll be better.
So there's objection. Do you want it? Is there any other objection?
I wouldn't be there either.
Mr. Mayor, I would not be there either.
Okay. Let's vote on this June date. Put it on the board.
Assemblymember Arvin. Assemblymember Arvin, can I get the own number? It failed, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
I can get back with the Anchorage clerk. I'm hearing fall.
I think I heard that, yeah.
Okay. And then it has been requested that a planning session be scheduled to discuss priorities prior to budget time. The suggested date is Tuesday, March 25th at 2 o'clock. It would be right before the Joint Assembly Planning Commission meeting. Is this a meeting that the Assembly would like to schedule? To discuss Assembly priorities before the budget starts.
Can we talk about that?
Well, I don't know if it was to be germane to the same topic.
We just had a work session for that purpose. Yeah. The manager was, we all sat here and we thought we were getting a budget presentation, and the manager thought he was getting direction, and I don't think either one happened.
Assemblymember Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, the reason I requested it, and we have two new assembly members, and my understanding was that last fall's meeting that was done was mainly oriented towards legislative priorities, and as far as I know, in general, we've got a direction to have a priority for schools and for EMS services and for infrastructure, but I thought it would be very useful that all of us could participate in kind of refining that before we approach the budget, and that's why I asked for it, because we didn't have one in January, as I understand they usually take. So that's why it was requested, and I would greatly appreciate it if we could do that.
Okay. Well, it takes at least four people to want to do that. Assemblymember Culligan?
I'll speak in support of that. It's high time we get our feces in order.
Mr. Mayor?
I won't ask what that word was again. Mr. Beck?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I'd ask for this as well. As a new person to the Assembly, this would be very beneficial to me. And ironically, I was sharing a meal with Assemblymember Culligan while we were down in Juneau this past week, and I asked him about this very thing when the last time the Assembly sat down and talked about priorities. So I would appreciate this very much.
So is there objection? Okay, Assemblymember Arvin, and then Assemblymember Solomon.
So we talk about priorities every day at the table, Mr. Mayor. We've got some 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 meetings in the queue specific to the budget, and I think the process is pretty sound. You guys are smart. You're quick studies. To sit down and mash over what we're going to mash over in 10 or 12 subsequent meetings doesn't really seem a good use of anybody's time. I'd vote against that. Thank you.
Assemblymember Solomon.
I echo Mr. Arvin's position in that respect. And a matter of curiosity, I'm not sure if the mayor answers this or possibly the clerk, but how long do you get to play off being the new guy? It's been 6 months. That's no offense, I'm just curious.
You're a new guy until another new guy comes.
Assemblymember Sykes,
and then Assemblymember Beck.
Oh, well, I just would like to respond to Assemblymember Arvin. I was hoping that because we would be able to better understand our priorities, that it might make the budget process easier and quicker, and the investment of time beforehand might pay off during the process. That was my hope, anyway.
Assemblymember Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I can ask my question later. Thank you.
Okay. Well, let's vote on this meeting. You want to restate it again, Madam Clerk?
It is to schedule a planning session on March 25th.
Put it on the board. And everybody note, oh, the right board is working.
Oh, it is only for no votes.
Oh, well.
This is the correct board, just so everybody knows. Mr. Mayor, it failed with Assemblymember Sykes and Culligan and Beck in support.
Okay.
That is all I had.
That's all you got. Good. Moving on. Citizen, other correspondence, community council minutes, IMs, unfinished business, veto, special orders, We're moving right along. We are ready for public hearings, Madam Clerk.
Ordinance Serial Number 14038, an ordinance approving a supplemental appropriation of $60,000 from the Greater Willow Road Service Area Number 20 Fund Balance Fund 276 to the Greater Willow Road Service Area Number 20 Fiscal Year 2014 Operating Budget Fund 276.
This is a public hearing, and nobody has signed up, and this is your chance to speak on this item only. Seeing no one rise, I will close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Halter. Yeah, for those that couldn't hear because the mic wasn't on, that was a motion from Assemblymember Halter. Is there a discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, it passes. Madam Clerk.
Ordinance Serial Number 14039, an ordinance accepting and appropriating $10,263.56 from the Alaska State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management Grant Program to fund 425 Project Number 45158 for hazmat training. With accompanying resolution Serial Number 14023, a resolution approving the amended budget for the Alaska State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management Grant Project Number 45158, Fund 425 for hazmat training.
Thank you. This is a public hearing. Nobody signed up. Does anybody want to speak? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Deputy Mayor.
Discussion.
Thank you. Discussion. Objection. Hearing none, it passes by unanimous consent. Now, ordinance 14040.
An ordinance amending MSP 1524030B18 by adopting the Lazy Mountain Recreation Area Master Plan, the Crevice Moraine Master Plan, and the Madanuska River Park Master Plan.
We do have people signed up. First is Dan Monarch, or something like that. Please come forward, state your name for the record, and he's followed by Ed Kessler.
I'll work on my writing. Good evening. My name is Dan Monarch. I am a homeowner in the Herman Heights subdivision, which actually is directly north of parcel 156, which is all incorporated into the Crevasse Moraine master plan. First off, I just want to say I do support the plan. An adoption of the plan. I think it's a good plan, and I actually think it's a really good, it could work really well with the existing trail system for Crevasse Moraine and the new trail system that's planned as part of what's been put forward. What I did want to mention, though, is I don't know if you guys have the plan in front of you, the graphical representation of it. There's a component in there. Yeah. There's a component in there that talks about a collector road. Being a homeowner in the subdivision that's right there, it's France Road is the road that leads to pathways, and there's a construction company in our subdivision and so on and so forth in there that then hooks into Palmer Wasilla. And that road is problematic, and so I think one of the components of this plan is the Hemmer extension, the collector road for that. It's a very important component of making this happen. I see it being a very difficult thing to add more traffic to France Road without having some other way to get out of that area, to get into that area. So I would hope for support for that as well as the plan itself. Thank you.
Thank you. Ed, followed by Dot. Is that Dot Helmer?
That was not my baby. Hello, Mr. Mayor and Assembly members. My name is Ed Kessler, and I'm here representing Valley Mountain Bikers and Hikers. And first, I'd like to thank you for this opportunity to speak in support of the three draft master plans this evening. Our vision for Valley Mountain Bikers and Hikers and for the Mat-Su is a world-class trail system for hikers, mountain bikers, and all other types of trail users. With an extensive network of safe, accessible, sustainable trails throughout our urban and rural communities, as well as backcountry areas, and enjoyed year-round by people of all ages. Since our inception in 2007, Valley Mountain Bikers and Hikers has been an integral part of the Mat-Su's recreation and trails community, serving as a link between residents, trail users, and land managers. We've organized hundreds of hours of volunteer labor and construction in Crevasse Moraine. We've built sections of the new Lazy Moose Trail on Lazy Mountain. And with the acceptance and approval of this plan, hopefully we'll begin construction with final approval by the borough of Palmer Bike Park at Matanuska River Park towards the end of this summer. Planners from USKH have taken the time to sit down with all of those involved and have gone above and beyond their requirements for the project and met with stakeholders on numerous occasions over the life of this planning project. Definitely don't always like the time it takes to do this kind of planning, but we wholeheartedly believe in this process. And with the acceptance of these three plans, we can finally move on to implementation and development of new recreation infrastructure, something that I think many of us have waited a long time for, because it seems like we always get plans, but we don't ever do anything with them. So with your approval tonight, it sets in motion a transformation for the Mat-Su, making our vision of a Mat-Su trail mecca into a reality. So on behalf of Valley Mountain Bikers and Hikers and trail users throughout the region, we thank you for choosing to promote healthy lifestyles, economic diversity, and a variety of recreation opportunities for residents and visitors alike. And we support the adoption of all three plans as is. Thank you.
Thank you. Dottie, you are who I was thinking of. I just couldn't see your last name here. You're followed by Aaron.
Thank you. I just want to speak of...
You do need to state your name.
Dot Helm, Palmer.
Yeah.
And I'm a trail user in all three of those areas. primarily in the Matanuska Greenbelt, with Crevasse Moraine is the north end of that. We're really happy that the borough's got a plan going forward dealing with the landfill expansion and trying to get some trails in there. I would just hope that it doesn't lose sight of the foot traffic. A lot of trails are intended for bikes, and foot traffic can use it, but there are differences in the usage of the characteristics of the trails. And it's also exciting with the borough having stuff going forward where we've been having all the land managers in the Greenbelt area have been talking with each other, and we're working on getting things more organized there instead of just having a bunch of miscellaneous pieces, trying to get the managers talking and establishing something more cohesive there. So this plan, it's a good step forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Aaron Kester, followed by Jay Van Dees.
Hi, Mr. Mayor, Assembly. My name is Aaron Kessler. I'm in favor of adopting the master plans as they are in the plan, I suppose, as they're written. I'm speaking on behalf of Backcountry Bike and Ski, based here in Palmer and a store now in Wasilla. And I'm an avid trail user, a neighbor in the near the Matanuska River Park, and a mother. So we plan on using these trails often, and I think the plans, the community put a lot of time and effort through the last few years into these plans. I think they're really well written, and they are definitely a positive for our community, for the health of the community, for our economy here in the borough, and I hope that they get fully approved and we can get on with working on them and getting the volunteers and the community together to support something really great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name is Jay Van Deest. I'm a Lazy Mountain resident and been there for quite a few years. And I've used these three specific parks quite often and live fairly close to the Lazy Mountain one. There's a few things in here that I'm not against. I attended the public meetings also that were held at the borough. I didn't see very much from the input of those meetings that was put on these plans. In general, I guess some of my thoughts were specifically at some of the two public input meetings, we were trying to find out where this originated, and I hope maybe some discussion that you guys have may be on the origination of these things. We asked about that. We heard three or four different, I don't know if there are stories, but three or four different places that it originated, and none of them were the same. And so maybe that might be something for future reference or for these planning ideas, where they come from, or if the public can know where these kind of things originate, if they're from the mayor or the manager or from an assembly member or from inside the borough staff, or where that comes from. And that was one of the points I had on that. And another is currently there's maintenance deals. I specifically know more about the Lazy Mountain Park. There was a gate there. The borough, a relative of mine, used to open and close it till his life was threatened too many times, and he decided to give the key back to the borough, so they removed the gate. That's one of the recommendations they have for security right now on your little plan, is we can put in a gate. They don't have, as you know, you don't have money for those things, and so these plans are include a lot of money, which is the excuse why they're not maintained more now. The parks are doing well right now. I would be against all these, this plan, specifically, mostly because of the broad outline of the plan gives, in a way, license to meddle into all these things for people. And if we knew more specifically where they came from and the finances of it, and the park, the Lazy Mountain Park now is maintained pretty well. The things we talked about when I met, I didn't go to the public input meetings for the other ones, but I went to the public input meetings for the ones for Lazy Mountain, and the things that were inputted, hardly any of that went on there. In fact, there's four people I talked to in the vicinity, none of them are speaking today, who said their ideal 20-year plan would be to make it look like 20 years ago. And I know that's not the forward type thinking that people like to hear, but that was local input that didn't make it in the plan at all. So those are my comments. Thanks.
Thank you. We have Jill Valerius.
Hi there, Mr. Mayor and Assembly Peoples. My name is Jill Valerius. I live in Palmer. I'm a healthcare provider in the area. I wholeheartedly stand behind those ordinances as they've been written. I think it's a great opportunity for our valley, not only in terms of just having parks, but I think in terms of improving the health of our communities. And when we improve the health of our communities, we're going to decrease vandalization and criminal activity and all that kind of stuff, because we're going to give people something to do. So thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else? It's all that signed up. Please come forward. Well, we do make exceptions for people that are too lazy to sign up. If you want to come forward and state your name.
My name is Maxine Franklin, and I just read about this meeting in the paper the other day, so I'm glad I didn't miss it. I'm an avid trail user of the Greenbelt, and I have been since I moved to the Valley in 1990. In fact, the thing I appreciate the most about the current trails is that they're fairly accessible from my home. You know, a 10-minute drive and I'm there. And I think that's true. You know, they're very well located. It's great that they connect the college, the experimental farm, Crevasse Moraine, and Matanuska Lake State Recreation Area in a nice 33-mile-plus trail system. And the landscape, I mean, the country you travel through is so varied. You never get bored. You know, you're going through hay fields, through woods, through dips, and it's just very, very beautiful. The whole entire Greenbelt is lovely. And I'm so glad that we have forward-seeing planners in our borough that have done a lot of work to come up with a good plan to keep this going. It could actually wind up being one of the jewels and main attractions for making our valley a really nice place to live in future. So it may cost some money. I mean, I can see how step-by-step things could be developed, but I think it could wind up being one of the most valuable aspects of living here. And as Dr. Valeria said, I agree with her that hiking is healthy, nature study is healthy, being out and just enjoying nature. You don't need a lot of machinery to do that, just your legs. You know, you can walk, and anybody can do it, and it's accessible. So please, I would encourage you to adopt these plans. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing and bring it back. We've got Assemblymember Beck's name on this.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to adopt ordinance serial number 14-040.
Thank you. I'm going to ask the manager. There was a question asked in testimony on the genesis of these plans and the process that got us where we are today.
Yes. You allowed me to come here 3 years ago, and all three of these projects were underway prior to myself getting here. And so that might be, there's been some turnover. I think we went through four or five community development directors in probably 6 years. But when these projects were presented to me, I gave the go-ahead to continue and to complete those. With the understanding, because right away, and I think Mr. Van Dees spoke to it, there's some very big concerns over in the Lazy Mountain area, and the direction was is to make sure that the trails that impacted the community, that we had community input to those. I have Hugh here who can kind of maybe address some of those questions, but Hugh has been with us just a little over a year as well, but all three of these were preceded me. We thought it was a good idea to complete the work exactly where they originated. We are not sure, but I thought it was a very good idea to complete the work, and so that's been done under my direction.
Thank you. Do you want to step forward, state your name for the record?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My name is Hugh Leslie. I'm the Recreation Library Services Manager for the borough. I can't add very much to what the manager said. When Mr. Phillips, who's the department director, began here, these projects were already in motion. He handed them off to me when I started. And then I worked with Sarah through USKH to go to the meetings and take the public input and continue the project on. Based on the comments made by the gentleman in the public, we did look back through all of our records, and we cannot find where the actual project came from, whether it was an assembly-directed project or planning-directed project or our department-directed project. The ball was already in motion when we joined the team.
That's really interesting, because I guess I was at a community council meeting before I was even mayor, and they were getting notices on this, and they thought all these things should have started with them, but they didn't know anything about it till after the fact. Well, thank you. If there aren't any more questions, we'll get to work here. Mr. Beck, you made the motion, so you get the first shot.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do like the plans. I just have a question about the concern Mr. Monarch raised. I don't know, Mr. Manager, can you talk? Has there been a lot of talk, like we're building Valley Pathways, we're talking about moving the Crevasse Moraine trailhead over that direction off of France Road. Has there been a lot of discussion on staff with regards to France Road in relationship to these plans? Because obviously the traffic is heavy on that road, and there it's a valid point that there's no secondary outlet. If there's ever an emergency at France Road and Palmer Wasilla Highway, that traffic can't get out of there. That's a good part of the...
Mr. Manager?
Yes, I would agree with your comments. It has been reviewed. However, Because we are behind in infrastructure, we have many, many situations where you have one road in and one road out. And so I think we've done a very good job prioritizing with the dollars that we have. We recognize it's a concern, and I'd like to say that's our only problem we have concerning that, but I cannot honestly say that.
Well, we did buy a right-of-way to take water to Valley Pathways, and I thought part of that objective was to get also have right-of-way then to join those two roads. Did that happen at that time?
No, not at this point, because we do not have funding for that work. It is on a radar, but there is no funding, and it has not been a funding priority at this point in time.
But at this point, it's not a right-of-way issue?
We would have to establish the right-of-way. We acquired the property to get us access. But no, we have not gone to that step. We've been working strictly on the school and getting the water to the school at that point in time. That's where our energy has been. Gives us the opportunity to come back.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, your point?
Has nothing to do with passing this ordinance. We were ready to vote before the reports, and I think it was almost a 7-0 vote. Now we're 15 minutes deep, and we're right back where we were, and it seems like everybody wants to talk further about a vote that's already a foregone conclusion, and that baffles me.
Okay, well, your point's well taken. That last issue was not directly related to the motion. It was a spinoff. Assemblymember Sykes.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to just make an amendment that relates to some of the testimony, and I thank the people for coming forward. I was at the meeting for Lazy Mountain Plan, and I too asked where the plans came from, and as I recall, part of the answer was that there had never been a master plan done for the parks, and it needed to be part of the overall planning process. That was what I recall. But the road issue and the issue that Mr. Van Diest raised I think are important. I would just propose an amendment to add another whereas at the make it the penultimate whereas. That would be the second to the last on page 99. Yeah, right before the whereas, it says, whereas the Parks, Recreation, and Trails Advisory Board approved resolution. I would just like to add the following language. Whereas road access issues should be carefully considered by nearby communities in coordination with implementation of the plans. Because that would get the... we already, you know, we spent a week, Assemblymember Culligan and the mayor and I spent a week with planners on many levels, and some of the audience members too, to try and make sure that we do transportation planning with community planning, and that is the intent of adding this so that when the master plans are implemented, the community still is part of that conversation, and however it relates to France Road or anything else. And I can provide this to the clerk if she can read my handwriting.
So, Assemblymember Sykes, we're going to have to... You were going off of the Planning Commission resolution.
Oh,
so
okay.
You need to go show us where to plug it in on page 107 instead of 99.
I'll just move to postpone this till next meeting. It doesn't seem like people are ready to vote.
Okay, there's a motion to postpone. I haven't heard major...
Well, do I get to finish introducing my amendment anyway?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe I've got the wrong page. What page did you suggest, Madam Clerk?
107. Either 107 or 108. That's the resolution that's on the floor. The one you were amending was the Planning Commission.
Oh, okay, sorry about that. I'm not quite used to the E packets, but I'm getting there.
Assemblymember Sykes, I think you're probably wanting it on the top of page 108.
Yes, that is correct.
And so we'll just insert that language, and thank you for using penultimate properly. Most people give it a totally... wrong meeting nowadays. So, Madam Clerk, can you give us the language that's going to go in this new whereas?
Whereas road access issues should be carefully considered by nearby communities in coordination with implementation of plans.
Okay. Is there objection to that? Okay, we have the main motion now amended. Assemblymember Culber.
Just to clear the record up, France Road is very germane and very relevant. The new trailhead for Crevice Moraine that's being developed is part of the parking lot for the Valley Pathways, and so we're going to be putting more traffic in there. I've heard a number of complaints, people very unsafe, trying to get out on the Palmosilla Highway in traffic in the morning in rush hour, and that another alternative, now we've got the school getting bigger, we've got the parking lot, we're going to have to develop a project to move cars out of there. One option you talked about, or somebody did, is Hammer Road. The issue of going south where the water line, that's Crevice Moraine. It's a lot of cuts and fills. I don't know if that's physically possible, but definitely a big issue. I would have a small amendment on the Matanuska River Park, just to add a clarification. It shows the 20-acre site next to the Academy Charter School that the Assembly of the Borough bought for the rest of the school and other purposes. But it's not part of this plan, but it's shown in there. And so I would hope that we wouldn't set the drawing that's in there in concrete. It's on the left of your drawing. It shows that 20 acres. But that's not part of this plan. So I would move to add a note under that drawing of that parking lot and track. The 20-acre site adjacent to the Academy Charter School is not a part of this plan. So someone doesn't pick it up and think that this is part of this plan, so that it's still not completely figured out what's going to happen next door, and it doesn't have to follow that exact template. So the 20-acre site adjacent to the Academy Charter School is not a part of this plan. Just note.
Well, actually, there's a different master plan dealing with that that yeah. overlaps to some degree north of the cemetery, doesn't it?
Cemetery's on the other side of the lot. Yeah, this is the one to the left side.
Okay, I know that. Well, right. I think it's just part of the IM. It's not part of the plan. So, is there objection to that motion? Just adding a note. Assemblymember Solomon?
Yes.
Okay, there is objection. We ready to vote? Put it on the board.
Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assemblymember Solomon opposed.
Okay, we have the main motion amended. Assemblymember Arvin, I'm sorry, I've overlooked you.
That's okay. Thank you. So, there's been reference to these three areas as being parks. Are they codified as parks, or are they identified as recreational areas?
Mr. Manager, do you have a planner here? Or whoever? The question is, are these classified parks or recreation areas?
Recreation areas.
Okay.
But I think they use the term, parks just as a generic term.
Mr. Mayor, if I could follow up.
Okay.
I think that's part of the rub, because then it becomes, you repeat something enough, and then all of a sudden it becomes fact in somebody's mind. And I just want to make sure that we're on record that these are public lands, that they are classified as recreation areas, and they're not parks, because that means something quite different to a lot of people. But if I might go on to say, if I could still have the floor, and really to make a note for the record, this body got a lot of flack, and myself in particular, over Jim Creek and its master plan development, and it being shanghaied or absconded off with as a motorized master plan, which is in borough code now, and it's being further refined and developed as additional monies come in. But it's important to note, as this is passed, it represents some 1,262 acres of non-motorized. Lazy Mountain is 360 acres, non-motorized in the motion. Crevice Moraine, 840 acres, non-motorized in the resolution. 64 acres. Matanuska River Park Campground, 62 acres, non-motorized. There is a large contingent of the population that lives here that doesn't set well with, in that this ordinance reads as though there was tremendous public involvement and that there was an overarching support for having these lands designated as non-motorized. In the Planning Commission and the Parks resos of support, I quote, "Many verbal and written comments from the public were submitted, discussed, and addressed in the development of these plans." I'm happy to hear that, but my packet is devoid of what those comments were. I can't discern if there was an overwhelming number of comments, whether verbal or written, in support of these lands being non-motorized, or whether there was objection to these lands being set aside in ordinance as non-motorized. Can you elaborate on what the public involvement was and how many comments there were, either in support or not, regarding these some 1,262 acres additional on top of Government Peak South being designated as non-motorized, which I'm on record supporting, but I would be interested to learn really what the public process was and how many people are intimately aware that there's another nearly 1,300 acres of borough property that's being designated as non-motorized. Can you speak to that?
I can. If it pleases the Assembly. We did hold several public meetings on each one of the three master plans that were heavily attended generally by the people that lived closest to those areas. As Assemblymember Sykes mentioned, he was at one of the meetings regarding the Lazy Mountain meeting. There were meetings at the animal care facility, the Palmer Depot. And then in addition to that, we solicited email input. I have spiraled notebooks with all of the written comments that we received. In fact, they were where I'm sitting earlier in the meeting, and as well as all of the email responses that we received regarding these three plans. Overwhelmingly, very little response or very little input regarding motorized activities. There was, to my recollection, none at Crevasse Moraine, none at Mat River Park. There was one or two comments about making the Lazy Mountain area open to some motorized activity. During the course of the dialogue at the meetings, based on the soil information that we have regarding the Lazy Mountain area, and if any of you have walked some of those trails at different times of the year, you see that the groundwater table is very close to the surface. In fact, the glaciation that you see at the restroom facility is caused by breaking that top layer. And there is a concern that if motorized activity is allowed in that area, it could create erosive conditions within the Lazy Mountain area. But again, there were one or two comments made about opening that up to motorized. Overwhelmingly, the response that we got was to continue to maintain it as a non-motorized area.
Thank you. Are we ready for the question? Assemblymember Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I did attend a public hearing on this. It was either October or November with the Park Rec and Trails, and there were many people in the room, Assemblymember Arvin, many, many people, at least 25 to 30 people, and most of those testified in favor of the plan. And of all those testimonies, I can't recall one that talked anything about the motorized vehicles. So it's been in the discussion for quite a while, I think.
Mr. Mayor. Assemblymember Arvin. I guess just as a closing comment, I'm going to vote against this because I don't, and I appreciate Mr. Beck's comments, but to hear that many, many people, overwhelming attendance, and then 20 or 25 people, that doesn't represent a full discussion with the public when we live in a community that is pushing 100,000 residents. So I think it's in that regard that I'm puzzled why we don't have the comments in our packet, but I can't support chopping up these lands for specific uses when I don't feel that it was vetted. So thank you.
Thank you. Let's maintain order, ladies and gentlemen. This is a process, and we're going to do it with civility. We got Assemblymember Sykes. Then Assemblymember Halter.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We had a couple of weeks to look into this. I think Mr. Arvin could have found this information. It really was overwhelming in terms of public processes I've seen in the borough where people really did come out, and I agree it was people from the nearest the communities that were most interested in these things. I believe the mayor was correct. This simply maintains the designation that these lands had previously. It does not change them. And so I think it's a non-issue, and I think we ought to vote, and I call the question.
Do you want to cut off Assemblymember Halter?
No, Mr. Halter can talk.
He hasn't spoken yet. Mr. Halter.
Well, the Crevice Marine system has always been a hiking and skiing trail from day one. It's never been a motorized trail, and it should stay that. And I think predominantly Lazy Mountain's been that way too. When I look at the three, I think the one, Matanuska River, that is a park. You know, I kind of view that as a park myself. I guess we could call it a rec area, but it's kind of set up as a park. These plans are just kind of, as we grow, our population's growing. The Crevice Marine is right here in our core area. You know, it just needs work and plans and things like that. We need to improve it because my wife comes down to Matt College and teaches and just loves and uses that. I think people in Willow come all the way down here. Same thing with Lazy Mountain. And these are just not areas for... I'm a motorized guy, too, by the way. I drive more four-wheelers and snow machines than probably... But I don't think these are the places to do that.
Okay. The Assemblymember Colligan, you haven't spoken to this yet.
I just want to take a second and comment. I hear Mr. Arvin's comments loud and clear, but it really comes down to the discussions of motorized versus non-motorized, which is, to me, just disgusting. It, you know, as Alaskans, you know, we don't like special interests, of course, unless they interfere with our special interests. And that's kind of what the discussion is around motorized versus non-motorized. When the motorized folks show up in support of something, it's, you know, it didn't get vetted and they're not the majority or whatever. It's you know, we need to allow for more happen. But I hope that going forward, and I know this budget cycle, I'm not funding any more non-motorized stuff that doesn't have community and other involvement and cost sharing from the community and the users that are using it versus the motorized folks that are spending money and have just as much right and access to lands that aren't getting their fair share. And I hope that we start looking at that and accommodating them. I'm going to vote in support of this with the expectation that there is a heavy discussion and some cooperation with all the users, not just a special interest group of people through the planning department or whoever that monopolizes the discussion. And all of these things have to get funded, and they're going to compete for funds. And now we're going to create new roads and other issues, and it's going to be a healthy discussion. But I hear Mr. Arvin and the like, but... It's not fun to sit here and listen to both sides just shoot at each other and not be very supportive of each other's particular use. I think there's plenty of room here for that. Certain neighbors don't like it, and I have to say I very much enjoyed this last weekend, the snow machine races out in front of Wasilla Resort that happened of motorized, and it was lots of fun and a ton of people and great weather. So, but I'm going to support it, but I have my own expectations as well.
Is there any objection to closing debate? I hear none. So put it on the board.
Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assemblymember Salmon and Arvin opposed.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, can we take a brief recess?
It's certainly time for that. Let's come back at 7:30. I thought I'd try having just a little longer break and see if people would comply, because I've learned there's no such thing as a 5-minute break, no matter what you say. So I believe we're now ready for Ordinance 14041, Madam Clerk.
An ordinance authorizing the Manuscasitna Borough to issue area-wide general obligation bonds in one or more series to finance the acquisition, design, construction, major renovation, and renewal of educational capital improvement projects and related capital improvements in the borough, fixing certain details of such bonds and authorizing their sale.
Okay. This is a public hearing. There's nobody signed up, but please come forward. State your name for the record.
Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, my name is Chris Gates, and I live in the Lazy Mountain area, and I'm in support of these bonds completely. But there's two questions I hope you ask when it comes back to the dais. The first question is on page 151. I hope somebody asks why Moody's Investor Services is specifically disallowed from rating these municipal bonds when they have been a rating agency in the past for municipal bonds. So I hope somebody asks the questions. They're specifically disallowed, and there's got to be a reason for it. I'm certainly curious why they're disallowed. The second, on page 167 of the packet, is a draft of a letter that goes out to bondholders and bond managers if there's a material change in the financial status of the borough after the bonds are issued. If there's a change in the material in the financial status, a letter goes out to bondholders. And one of the items in that letter, one of the items that triggers that letter, is credit enhancements that have been reduced, reflecting financial difficulties. So credit enhancements. And my question is, after your discussion regarding the $7 million payment for the borough obligation to the general fund, if you pay that money out of cash balances for the borough or out of fund balances for the borough, would that trigger a letter to bondholders that the credit enhancements of the borough have been materially affected? And I think your finance director was kind of alluding to this during your last meeting when she talked about impacts in other areas. If you pay off that port obligation, that there's impacts in other areas. This might be, that on page 167, this line is where it might trigger a letter to bondholders and to bond managers if you use general funds to pay off that port obligation. So those are just two points in reading through the 700 pages of the packet today, just two things that I thought would be of interest to you because they were of interest to me as a citizen, and thank you for your time.
Thank you. I always feel a little strange when we have public hearings that deal with millions and sometimes hundreds of millions of dollars and nobody has anything to say. Anybody else? Okay, we're going to close the public hearing. Bring it back to Assemblymember Arvin.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to adopt ordinance serial number 14-041.
Okay. Mr. Manager, could there was some valid questions that were brought up. If our finance director could speak to those.
Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, with regards to the letter on page 167, or the continuing disclosure certificate, if the Assembly, we discussed at the previous meeting,
the means to pay back the Port Enterprise Fund. If the Assembly were to increase the mill rate, there would be no disclosure. That's an action of the Assembly to, if they were to raise the mill rate, one mill or whatever it was, there would not be anything necessary for disclosure. The times that we've had to disclose things are, for example, when we used to insure the bonds and when the insurance companies got downgraded, we had to disclose. So those were disclosed. It's called an EMA system, and it's disclosed through that. And we do disclosures on that every January. And so what we disclose every January, unless, for example, if there is like a downgrade to the insurance companies, that's automatically disclosed. But every January we provide them with our financial statements. And then also when we close on bonds, we also disclose that, and we provide them with what's called the CUSIP numbers. With regards to Moody's, we are rated, we were rated by three rating agencies, Standard & Poor's, Moody's, and Fitch. And we didn't, as several other communities in the state of Alaska, see the reason to continue to pay for three ratings. The ratings, I just got a bill on our last one for Standard & Poor's, and that was $17,000. So this was a way of saving money. And so these most recent bonds, we just met with the two rating agencies. And the same with Anchorage. Anchorage no longer has all three ratings either, neither does Fairbanks.
Thank you. Those were good questions and good answers.
You're welcome.
Discussion. Assemblymember Arvin.
Mr. Mayor, consistent with other bonds that we've approved to sell, will you allow me just a brief latitude to read what this might be here into the record for people that are listening online? It's a pretty significant list, and it amounts to $32.7 million, and it's borough-wide. And
how long is it? It is posted online.
It is posted online.
If it's less than a page, I guess.
It's not going to be, but just about 30 seconds here.
Okay.
Iditarod Elementary School, $1.2 million. Kinnick Area New Elementary School, $185,000. Kinnick Goose Bay Middle School, High School, $10.1 million. Career Tech High School, Phase 3 Edition, $14.65 million. District ADA Compliance Upgrade, $1.5 million. Athletic field improvements nearly borough-wide at multiple schools, nearly $1.5 million. Bathroom renovations at Pioneer Peak, Wasilla Middle, Palmer High, almost a half a million. Maintenance, emergency power generators and switch gears at several schools borough-wide, $1.6 million. Energy upgrades at about 10 schools borough-wide, from Big Lake, Finger Lake, Kinnick, Larson, Swanson, Talkeetna, Willow, Houston, Palmer, Middle, Goose Bay, Cottonwood Creek, almost just over $2.5 million. Building environmental improvements, borough-wide again, multiple schools, almost $600,000. And Houston High School building improvements, $600,000. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. For those that are online, every one of these 700 and some pages is posted online. In fact, sometimes it's online before we get it. So it's all there. Is there further discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, that passes. And you will have noticed from that list that we don't issue these bonds until we're at the phase in the construction process that that calls for them. So we're not paying interest any longer than we have to, because we're nearly done with Valley Pathways, and yet there's still a piece in there to help finish that up.
So ordinance 14042.
An ordinance adopting MSB 1524-030B36, the South Kinnick River Comprehensive Plan.
Thank you. This is a public hearing, and we do have Patricia Rosnell.
Mr. Mayor, Assembly Members, staff, my name is Patricia Rosnell, and I am testifying both for and against this comprehensive plan. I'm testifying as a member of the community that participated in the discussion and drafting, and I'm testifying against what it looks like it may become, in the hopes that it will not become it. What I'd like to do is share with you a comment by Commissioner Adams of the Planning Commission after my testimony against the plan to that body. And what he said was, from the minutes, Commissioner Adams questioned what the plan can actually do for this community, opined that borough code does not allow these plans to have the strength that many in the community may think, and suggested that the commission needs to be careful of the security that the community may be expecting from this plan. And with the testimony that we've heard earlier about other plans, I think that bodes true for all of our plans. The comprehensive plan, the borough comprehensive plan, may say one thing. It may indicate the welcome participation of residents in making and carrying out the plan, and yet it may not have the strength to carry through that, or in fact, in some cases, the will. And in looking at all these plans, I would just like to ask you, the representatives of the people, to consider how we can bring more close together what our documents say and what actually happens. It involves a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm sure you know, and everybody that goes through that process is told, the teeth in the execution of these plans comes in the special use district, the zoning ordinance that would come after that. Right, it's optional, but it's just a plan until that time. Anybody else? Okay, we close the public hearing and bring it back to, I assume, Assemblymember Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move ordinance serial number 14042, South Kinnick River Comprehensive Plan. And I'd like to speak to the motion, please.
You may.
I dug into this comp plan history since... as the chair of the first comp plan that was done in the borough as community plans, we had held the record for the longest time it took any community to do it until now. This was begun in 2006. The minutes by the community council were signed almost 2 years ago. 84 people responded to a survey by the borough. 73 of those were residents. And yet the final vote at the community council involved only 13 people. As I've become more familiar with my own district, this is called the South Kinnick River Comprehensive Plan, but it includes the old Glen Highway all the way to the new Glen Highway, and a lot of people don't think about that. And so I'm going to move to postpone till time certain, because while I don't see anything terribly wrong with this plan myself, I think that I'd like to make sure the community is aware that it exists and give them a sort of a final review and let the community council hold their own meeting, and I would, as part of my motion, direct the manager to work with the planners so that there is a mail notification to every resident and property owner in the South Kinnick River Comprehensive Plan area, and provide the link to the on the website so that everybody can see it, and take public comments, and if the and to have a encourage a community meeting, so that if there are any recommended changes, that we can consider them. And I would propose the time certain to be the second meeting in June. And I don't anticipate a lot of controversy on this, but I really kind of feel like at least the record reflects a diminishing amount of interest as the plan went on, and even now I'm not sure where it lies between wild apathy and people wanting to have another look at it. So that's my motion, is to postpone till time certain the second meeting in June.
Okay, motion to postpone time certain June 17. Is Assemblymember Halter? It's supposed to public notice sent out. Mr. Manager, did you pick all that up? Does it go back to the Planning Commission?
That is not my intent,
no.
Mr. Mayor. By postponing time certain, I want the community to have another look at it, and then it can simply come back to us. The South Kinnick River Comprehensive Area, which is actually exactly the same as the South Kinnick River Community Council.
So, motion to postpone. Is there objection? Okay, Assemblymember Solomon. Okay, so, okay, there is objection, so please vote.
Mr. Mayor, the motion passes with Assemblymember Solomon, Assemblymember Culligan, and Assemblymember Arvin opposed.
Okay. The motion is postponed till time certain, June 17. We now have Ordinance 14-043.
An ordinance amending MSB 1524030B4, adopting the City of Wasilla's downtown area as an amendment to the City of Wasilla 2011 Comprehensive Plan.
Thank you. This is a public hearing, and we've heard from Wasilla already. Does anybody want to speak? Seeing no one, we'll bring it back to Assemblymember Culligan.
So I move to adopt Ordinance Serial Number 14-043, and I'd like to speak to it.
You may.
So I believe that this has been well vetted through this Wasilla City Council and all its commissions well, with letters of support, and I would just ask for unanimous consent and approval of it. Thank you.
I see no further discussion. Is there objection? There's no objection. So that brings us to audience participation, and we begin with Beth Freed, followed by Howard Delo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Assembly members, and staff. My name is Beth Freed. I am a member of the Transportation Advisory Board and their representative to the Aviation Advisory Board, and a member of the Economic Development Advisory Council and the chairman of the Transportation Working Group from that council. I am speaking on behalf of no one but myself, and I thank you all for pointing me to the positions that you have. I have really been grateful over the past 2 weeks that the Assembly and management offered us the opportunity as transportation planning participants to get together, listen to how things are done, but most importantly, interact with one another. And we walked away with the biggest thing that I've been crying for since I joined the Transportation Advisory Board, and that was an increase in community involvement. It's been my mantra since day one, and the people in that room and through that process heard that it was important to us, mainly because I believe very strongly that the fights that go on between the community and transportation planners will be reduced significantly if they find out about things before they happen. I have been involved in a debate with the Department of Transportation over the couplet in Palmer. I have been involved in the debate over the transportation plans from Lucas to the Houston Big Lake intersection. I have been involved in the debate over the planning for a couplet in Wasilla. They extend the amount of time and therefore the number of dollars spent. And I think this is a much more cost-effective methodology. So I thank you for that. Our major challenge, as you've heard tonight several times, actually, and I'm pleased to hear it myself, is that we don't have enough people participating when we offer them the opportunity. And as I reach out to the folks who say that they aren't hearing about it, they and I say, okay, how do I reach you? I don't know you. And now I'm getting more and more people getting in touch with me and giving me suggestions, so I appreciate being put on that committee as well. I would like you to consider having a weekly, monthly, bi-monthly, some kind of town hall, because there would always be a subject for that. And if everyone knew it was scheduled, then they would like to maybe come and bring their issue to that town hall. I'm not sure that you all would need to be there. We could have staff running it, or we could just rotate whoever threw it on a monthly, weekly, bi-monthly, whatever you all decide to do. I think we need a larger outreach because it's costing us money. And I thank you for your time and attention.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Can I ask Mr. Freed a question?
Yeah.
We're doing good on the agenda. If we weren't, I wouldn't. But were you able to participate in the substandard roads discussion today?
No, maybe I was.
Yeah.
I was. It wasn't the tab. So, yes.
Okay, so I guess my comment is I'm pleased to see that that discussion is happening, and I know the assembly is focused on that and trying to come up with a new mechanism whereby if there's development that is planned on a substandard road, that there's some measure in the middle that we can accommodate development while at the same time allowing access without having to go to the full depth of what a collector road might be required to be. So thank you for taking that up.
May I address that?
You may.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. There are major challenges in substandard roads and providing service throughout road service areas, as you are well aware. We are coming up with some methodologies to help address some of the issues that you brought forward as a body regarding substandard roads and upgrading them for maintenance only versus upgrading them for other types of options. And as I read the new subdivision ordinance, I believe that its intent was very clear and also very cross-borough supportive, so I hope that we follow through on making sure that the intent of the subdivision code is carried out.
On the suggestion about a town hall meeting, are you looking for something where they have more than 3 minutes to speak, or is there a reason?
I'm looking for something similar to the legislative town halls that occur regularly.
Well, every 2 weeks we have this piece on the agenda just for that.
I understand that, Mr. Mayor. It's not working, obviously.
Well, if you maybe help advertise it, we can get more participation.
Well, I do, but, you know.
Assemblymember Culligan.
I want to put words in her mouth, but I think she was talking about moving from the epicenter of government to somewhere where the center of the people are in the borough, maybe.
Yeah, that couldn't be Wasilla, though. Okay, let's come back to Mr. Delo, followed by Jay Van Deest.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly. My name's Howard Delo. I am a member of the Fish and Wildlife Commission. I'm speaking primarily for myself. We did not take an official vote on this, what I'm going to talk about, but just unofficially everybody on board supports it. And I'm speaking about Assemblyman Culver's resolution asking for the Assembly to send a unanimous thank you to the Board of Fish for their efforts in this past meeting. A lot of the elements of the Board of Fish are similar to what's been going on here tonight. On several of your discussions, there have been split votes. All of the Assembly members have survived a political process, or you wouldn't be where you are. The mayor referred to the political process of the Board of Fish, and it, too, is structured with members from a number of different perspectives. Simply put, commercial fishing versus sports fishing. That's how everybody tends to break it down. It gets a little finer than that sometimes, but we don't need to get into that here. The fact that the Board of Fish unanimously supported a major change to how a commercial fishery is to be managed in Cook Inlet, specifically for the conservation of our northern district fish, is, in my time, virtually unprecedented to have that level of cooperation within board members. And I'm sure, as you're all well aware, you appreciate your constituents thanking you when you do something that you felt was correct, but you knew you were going to be taking flack for. A thank you does tend to go a long way. And that's basically what I'm asking you to do, is support Assemblyman Culver's thank you to the Board of Fish, because there are some members on that board right now that are taking tremendous heat for having voted to support this change in this management plan. And it will help buoy them up. And hopefully, as the mayor pointed out, this is supposed to be a three-year process, at least until this topic can come up again. But the board does have provision for out-of-cycle hearings and all kinds of things that, if pursued properly and enough board members agree to, this whole thing could come up at another time in a less advantageous venue and possibly even be totally dismantled. So a simple thank you, letting them know that you appreciate what they did, would go a long way. And with that, I'll end. Thank you very much.
Thank you. They will be getting a letter from the mayor. Unless the Assembly jumps on me. So, Jay Van Deest.
My name is Jay Van Deest. I was up here a little earlier. I didn't plan on talking to this until I saw on the agenda it was there. I understand you have some appointments later on in the meeting, and for the Port Commission, I just thought I wanted to speak to give my recommendation. I think Chris Gates is one of the people that was nominated, and I just want to give my recommendation that I support him. I think he'll be excellent on the commission. Extensive government background and private background with major projects, and not just understanding this process, but understanding how to succeed at this process is something that most people don't either do or don't want to do. But these meetings, thank you guys for taking the time for that, but he understands that process as well, so that's all I had to say.
Thank you. Mr. Chris Gates. We got it. Anybody else?
Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, my name is Christopher Gates, and I reside at Lazy Mountain, and I'm sorry I'm too lazy to sign the sign-in sheet. And I want to say thank you to Jay Van Deest. And I want to give you some reason to say no to me on your Port Commission, because if you vote for me, you're going to have a passionate advocate for tonnage over that port. You heard me talk about a couple of weeks ago that changing from a facilities orientation to a tonnage orientation should be done in order to avoid $7 million cash calls from the general fund. In order to make the port pay its way, we've got to, in my opinion, put tonnage over that port. Towards that end, this West Susitna access and the message that it sends to DOT and the message that it sends to resource developers is a good one, and I really urge you, late 14025, to start the process. It's not done. You'll have 18 times to say no to it. But this is a wonderful message for you to start accessing new areas of tonnage for your port. $300 million, you know how much it's important to put tonnage over that port, and I think a significant amount of tonnage can come from the west over this corridor. I worked for the Donlin, for Nova Gold, for 3 years running their winter operations as both a contractor and as an employee. This is a $4 billion mine located 40 miles this side of Aniak. Their primary way of accessing natural gas is through borough property. There will be if that mine is developed, $4 billion mine is developed, there will be a natural gas line from the borough, Upper Cook Inlet, through this borough to that mine. It's the start of the reason why access is important. They can't have a mine there economically unless they get low-cost gas through this borough. There's a need for people to access through this borough to develop projects that will produce tonnage, that will pay wharfage and dockage and service charge at the port, pay off the bonds, and provide a substantial, in my opinion, substantial general fund benefit, millions of dollars from the port to the general fund of this borough if we get enough tonnage over that port. I've seen it at the Port of Anchorage. I've seen it at the Port of Seward. This port can be a cash producer for the general fund, but it can't happen unless there's advocacy, strong messages for responsible resource development in the interior, and this access would be a good start. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anybody else? Only once. I believe that's right, Mr. Attorney. You can talk about anything you want to, but you can only do it once. Okay. We will close the public hearing and bring it back to the consent agenda. Madam Clerk, would you read what little is left?
Resolution Serial Number 14027, a resolution thanking the Alaska Board of Fisheries for enacting conservation measures to restore salmon runs in the Susitna and Matanuska River systems. AM number 14015, awarded bid number 14088B to GNS Management Services, LLC, in the contract amount not to exceed $905,000 for Trapper Creek Elementary School roof replacement. AM number 14016, approval of change order 1 to contract 14044B to Truckwell of Alaska Incorporated in the amount of $26,087. For a contract total of $120,211 for the purchase and installation of a custom van body. AM number 14018, vacation of the 50-foot wide section line easements located within Tract E, ASLS 84108, and a 25-foot by 140-foot of the public access easement on the north property line of Tract E, ASLS 84108, located in sections 13, 14, 23, and 24, Township 19 North, Range 8 West, Seward Meridian. AM number 14020, awarded bid number 14085B to Jim Pasenik Construction, and the contract amount of $169,246 for Bogard Road Extension East Clearing Phase 1 construction.
Thank you. Mr. Deputy Mayor. Thank you. Is there objection? Hearing none, we move. Those pass by consent as they were intended to, and it brings us back to Resolution 14024.
A resolution supporting the scheduling of borough-wide town hall meetings to take public comment on fiscal year 2015 budget.
Assemblymember Colbert.
I move Resolution 14-024. Mr. Mayor and Assembly, the reason I brought this out for you to just as a topic of discussion that in light of the difficulties we're facing with our EMS funding, how what that looks like, the school district's always, you know, want 3%. It appears to be a very tight budget year. I think it would be of some value to hear what the people think. Cut services, increase services, how do we pay for it, get us some direction. You know, we're in our cocoon, we do our public hearing thing, we have our meetings. We don't head out to the other areas, the west end or the east end of the borough very often. So I'll just leave it up to you if you think it's of value. I'm just looking for some direction on what we do. I guess we should go there with some options. Do you want increased ambulance fees? Do you want same level of service, and do you want a flat tax, or, you know, what is the direction the public would like us to go? I think we should bring them the problem and ask for some comment on solutions before we just roll up our sleeves and get out our pencils. So I'll leave it up to you all to make the decision here.
Okay, Assemblymember Sykes pulled it, so you're second.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to say that I support wholeheartedly the intent of the resolution. I think it's always a good idea to go to the public and give them the opportunity to give us advice. I hope that Assemblymember Culver will accept the what I regard as friendly amendments that I would like to make to this. We've embarked on a process of transparency and trying to make the budget user-friendly and provide a lot of information to people on the web. And I would just like to enlarge on that and make it part of the process and part of this resolution. So I'm proposing an amendment to add to the top of page 2 of the ordinance, whereas the borough is expanding information about the budget through its website and public information office to encourage public participation. And then at the end of the therefore be it resolved clause, just tack on to the end of that, by all means possible, including web responses, the ability of people to call in to testify at budget meetings held in Palmer. Now, I know that we haven't worked out a phone bridge, but this is not difficult technology. And if it absolutely can't be done, I won't insist on it. But as long as we do have this beautiful facility, and I think a contractor can easily handle this, or we can buy a phone bridge, the same stuff they use on talk radio shows, I'd like to see us invite the public to call, because when you go on the road, people who show up tend to be near those communities, and then it still excludes people in Lake Louise and Sheep Mountain and other places in my 150-mile-long district, and I'd like to give them the chance to call in. So that's the amendments I would like to propose.
Okay. On the amendment, is there objection?
Can we have
that? Madam Clerk?
Just to add a whereas clause that reads, the borough is expanding information about the budget through its website and public information office to encourage public participation, and at the end of the now therefore be it resolved clause to include verbiage that says, by all means possible, including web responses, the ability of people to call in to testify at budget public meetings held in Palmer.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the amendment passes. Assemblymember Arvin.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, yeah, I understand the goals here.
Mr. Arvin, could you point that mic straight at you? I had a little discussion with our... There's a few of you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, that's perfect, but it's got to be pointed straight at your mouth.
I appreciate that, and I'll do my best to speak into the microphone. So we've got a number of budget deliberations. We have two scheduled public hearings. I would suggest to really ratify what the goal is, if we want to reach out to the northern ends of the borough, I would be in support of actually having an additional public hearing in Talkeetna, as opposed to a town hall meeting. A town hall meeting definition is synonymous with legislators that serve the state of Alaska's public interest in D.C., and when they come back here, then it's an opportunity for the public to interact with them. Similarly, while session's in at Juneau and the caucus is back in the valley, they broadcast that to a town hall meeting so the public can come interact with them face-to-face. But, Mr. Mayor, consistent with your comments earlier, we meet here every 2 weeks. We've got a robust schedule for deliberations and public hearings for the budget process. I would be more in support of expanding the public hearing component such that we travel together up north and have a hearing, or even add additional hearings before we start the deliberations. The town hall meeting concept can be met by doing that, and I think it's more consistent by doing it the way I'm recommending than changing the way that the budget process in particular is engaged. I'm not sure the town hall meeting concept really fits with what's at hand there. If we want to expand the deliberations or expand the public hearings, then let's do that specifically in the form of noted meeting times with the topic at hand. I think it will be that the outcome will be better, the information will be better received, as opposed to on the fly kind of town hall meeting forum. I've been to many of those, to include one most recently last weekend, and I don't think that fits with what I think Mr. Culver's goal is here.
Ron, what you're getting at is kind of where I was going.
Assemblymember Culver, excuse me, did you have a specific motion to implement this?
I would defer to Mr. Halter, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, Assemblymember Halter. Use your mic, Assemblymember Halter.
If you look at your schedule of special meeting rate budget public hearing Friday, May 2nd, 6 p.m., I'd move to amend that to have it so attendance at Susitna Valley High School. That'd be the Northern Valley. That way you could pull down Trapper Creek, you could pull down
Susitna
Community Council, North of Willow.
Mr. Mayor.
Madam Clerk.
Unless we're going to be making changes to have one here that defeats the purpose of Assemblymember Sykes' previous amendment to have the teleconference here in Palmer. So were we looking at adding more or replacing the locations of the two we've got on the clerk's report?
State your motion. I think he was just redefining one of the existing meetings.
I was just redefining the public hearing Friday, May 2nd to move the location from here. It says Assembly Chambers location to Susitna Valley High School location.
Okay.
Okay.
Unless we're going to have another one in Palmer.
There is still another one in Palmer for the teleconference.
No, there's not, Mr.
There's
Mayor.
Not.
The May 2nd meeting is the one that's being held here in Assembly Chambers.
Right.
For the teleconference that Assemblymember Sykes moved to.
There was a specific date on his?
Well, that's the only public hearing at this point that we're holding in Palmer.
Okay. That's the last public hearing. Okay,
yes.
Got it. Assemblymember Solomon.
I'm not necessarily opposed to Mr. Halter's motion, but it's not on this motion. Resolution to create town hall meetings. Mr. Halter, is this specific to a specific meeting already scheduled? I move the question on this resolution, sir. And then Mr. Halter's should come forward as a separate motion on its own accord, in my opinion only, my humble opinion.
Okay, well, it is, you're allowed to raise a point of order, Madam Clerk.
If I could just add to the discussion a little bit, when this came forward as a resolution, my intention was to run it like a normal budget public hearing. Now, if that's not the case, I would like different direction.
That was what I thought, too. I was earlier.
I think Mr. Culver's just trying to pretend like he's in Juneau already.
No. Quite frankly, Mr. Mayor, if I could comment, I'm a little concerned about a ripple effect. We've had a number of public safety people, emergency services. We've got an issue that has to be addressed that has severe budget implications. And I don't feel real comfortable taking direction without hearing what the public have to say. The ambulance funding is important. It's critical. And how are we going to pay for it? It's going to be expensive. And so that's the concern. And I, after going through last year's budget, I think it's going to be a very tight budget. There's a lot of wants and not a lot of revenue.
Okay.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor.
So, well, let's clear up the last point of order. Yes, the clerk agreed that Assemblymember Solomon's point of order was in order. Amending the original motion that way was not really proper. So if you really want to change it to one of our existing public hearings, I guess you need to vote it down. Is that right, Madam Clerk?
Yes, sir. They can add a whereas clause to the agenda, whichever way the Assembly wants to do it.
Okay, the question's been called for. Is there objection to closing debate? The question is the original motion for a public hearing. So, is there objection? There is. So, please vote on the resolution.
Mr. Mayor, it failed with Assemblymember Culver and Sykes in favor.
Okay. Assemblymember Halter.
Now I'd like to move the same motion. I want to change the date of the Assembly special meeting budget public hearing that's currently listed Assembly Chambers May 2nd, Friday, 6 p.m. So I want to change the location to the Northern Valley Susitna High School.
Okay.
And I guess I'm not opposed to having another public hearing in Palmer here if that's what's needed.
Well, we would be able. We have another meeting on May 5th that could still become a public hearing if we just so choose. Susitna Valley High School. Yeah. So motion is to turn the May 2nd meeting into to the Susitna Valley High School. I'm going to ignore that. Yeah, right. Okay. Is there objection to that? Hearing no objection, that passes. And so, Madam Clerk, that stands as a motion all on its own, an unadvertised piece of the agenda.
Yes, it is a motion all on its own, but it is an order, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
As it's under the clerk's report, it's scheduling of meetings.
Okay, well, we supposedly finished that.
However, I just want to make sure the Assembly realizes I've got to notice public hearing locations and times at least 7 days prior, so if you're wanting to add something, please do that early to mid-April so we can get the advertising in correctly.
Okay,
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Arvin.
I've been trying to keep up, but in case this hasn't been covered, I would make... We're still open to...
Well, we have finished the business that had a motion, but we are looking at the borough's the clerk's calendar. The clerk ignored the last little diversion here, so if you want to do something else with it.
If it's appropriate, I'd like to address the clerk's calendar.
We are.
Okay, thank you. So Monday, May 5th, Assembly Chambers meeting at 6 p.m., special meeting budget deliberations. I'd like to add to the front of that an additional public hearing.
Okay.
So that would be in total three, two of which are in Palmer, one of which is in Wasilla, one of which is in Palmer.
And that's to include and accommodate phone testimony, since that got lost.
Okay.
Is that all right, Mr. Arvin?
That was not my motion, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
But if somebody else wants to take that up as a charge, they're certainly welcome to.
We got Wasilla.
Okay, there's a motion simply to add a public hearing to the already scheduled meeting on May 5th. Is there objection to that? Assemblymember Sykes.
I don't really have an objection. I would like to amend it to try and accommodate a phone-in testimony.
That's what I was trying to get for you.
Thank you.
So there's no objection to amending that agenda.
on the May 5th meeting. Is there an objection to having that public hearing include telephone testimony? Assemblymember Arvin.
Mr. Mayor, so this is getting a little bit fractured, but is that to suggest it's for all three public hearings, or is it just the one that's in Palmer on May the 5th?
Just Palmer.
Thank you.
I hear no objection, Madam Clerk, so...
No objection on the secondary, and did we do the primary, Mr. Mayor?
There was no objection to the primary.
Because Assemblymember Sykes was a secondary to the primary.
I took that as a new motion because we'd already passed the primary. But you can write it up however you want.
Okay.
Assemblymember Culligan.
I had a question while we were talking about schedule. I'm not sure if this is the time or later in the meeting, but I was wondering when our next executive session is scheduled.
On legal matters?
On any matters. We had earlier conversation, and I would like to have...
Mr. Mayor, before. I think we're out of order. That would be a later issue.
All right, I'll wait.
Yeah, you can... There's a spot here for an executive session if you want to do one tonight.
I'd like to schedule one. But.
Okay, well, it's on every agenda, every regular meeting.
Except you do have to advertise the topic, and if the topic is not on the agenda, Mr. Mayor, you can't hold an executive session.
Okay. We are now ready for Resolution 14026 after wandering around a little bit. Oh, no, 025, I'm sorry. Madam Clerk.
A resolution encouraging the state of Alaska to further develop an access road into the Susitna Basin west of the Susitna River.
Okay. Assemblymember Arvin, do you want to move that?
Mr. Mayor, I did not pull that.
About that. That is close enough. Well, we passed the rule, Assemblymember Arvin.
Okay. I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor. I move resolution serial number 14-025.
Yeah. And Assemblymember Sykes pulled that, I think. You can speak to it.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a couple of objections to this. I think it's just a little premature. We should probably evaluate this. We did see a letter from the Talkeetna area that had some questions about it, and we just have gone through these planning sessions again, and I don't think that we need to slow anything down, but I did ask how this relates to our Southwest Borough Plan, and that is still just a framework. And in reality, this would not be able to happen until after the Southwest Plan. We're talking about crossing the Susitna River. When I was on the Alaska Energy Authority Advisory Board, we really found that most of the explorers in Cook Inlet found it cheaper to use marine transportation to do their exploration activities. And we haven't asked them if they want roads. I think that there's been scant interest in the past. There may be more interest in the future. Certainly anything that did come may or may not. It depends. You know, we're talking gas, and it's fairly easy to get gas from the west side of the inlet to the east side, so I'm not necessarily sure they're going to export gas out of our port when they have already a facility. So I think we need to evaluate this a little bit further. There's already the planning underway that I want to see follow through, and we are asking for $149 million from the legislature already. That does not include the cost of the Kinnick Arm or the Susitna Dam, and I just don't see that this is the right time to do this, so I would oppose the resolution. Thank you.
So noted. Assemblymember Halter?
Yes, I want to move to continue this for 2 weeks. I spoke to you prior to the meeting, and I'd just like to look into this particular resolution and routing a little bit more carefully. I saw the Talkeetna letter also, and also the Trapper Creek Road Board has a resolution that we presented to Senator Dunleavy and Representative Keller. We were asking for roads to resources money for the oil well road, and that process. But I'd like to, I haven't had a chance to really thoroughly look into this, and I'd like 2 weeks. I don't think this is of any particular urgency, that 2 weeks will hurt it. And I could, I actually believe that we should do something in the nature of this resolution myself personally. I'd just like a chance to look at it pretty carefully.
Okay. Motion to postpone time certain March 18th. Assemblymember Solomon to the motion.
I support Mr. Halter's motion to postpone and would suggest that in the 30 years I've lived here, we've talked about this road and vetted it, and he is correct. 2 more weeks won't matter, but more talking ain't going to make it more real either.
Okay. We'll be more ready, though. Assemblymember Arvin.
Yeah, I would support Mr. Halter's motion to postpone for 2 weeks, date certain, with a presumption that he comes back and fully endorses this. Thank you.
There you go. So is there objection? There's no objection. So Assemblymember Halter, you've got unanimous consent to... Okay, we are ready to move on. We're ready for introductions, Madam Clerk.
Actually, we're on Resolution 14026, Mr. Mayor. A resolution encouraging the state legislature to seek cost-saving opportunities that do not impact the quality of our educational system.
Okay. This can be moved by Mr. Arvin.
Mr. Mayor, I move resolution serial number 14-026 and would like to speak to it.
You certainly may.
Although I didn't pull it. I would like to know where this came from.
Please speak into your mic.
I would like to know where this came from, and I would like to know, after having read this a number of times, what it means. It's a bunch to do about nothing. Please help me out, somebody.
I think, okay. Mr. Manager?
I'm glad it's not evaluation time here for me. This is drafted by me. Been down to Juneau a few times. Our legislators representing us have been working on these school issues, and the times have been down. There is a big criticism. It's like we are working on these issues, trying to work through this budget, and the Mat-Su Borough, you know, is silent on this discussion. So I told them I would draft something to get that discussion going at the assembly. Do you care, or do you have any concerns when our local legislators are dealing with school issues that impact locally? So yes, there is no strong or bold statements in there because as manager. The manager does not make bold statements, but he follows the direction of the assembly. So there have been a few initiatives to look at cost-saving measures. I did not particularly want to support one way or the other those issues, but I brought forward so you could have the assembly could have discussion and then also direction on this issue. So when I'm back down there, I can be silent, or I could have something to carry with me.
And, Mr. Manager, just to kind of back you up a little bit, I had more than one legislator ask for exactly the same request. How can we find a way to do education sustainably? And request to seek that. Assemblymember Culligan, and then Assemblymember Solomon.
Yes, I support this idea. I put this exact question on our upcoming, as an item for our upcoming school, our joint school board assembly meeting to be vetted out, but I would gladly vote for it tonight. There are many issues coming up, and there's a bunch of different discussion, I think some real and some perceived, but if there are opportunities to pool resources, and it's not just for us, I think there's a lot of stuff that more affects rural Alaska, more so than ourselves, but if there's an opportunity for us and other entities to join together to affect a cost savings or or other things, I would like to, we're looking at those and considering those and move ahead. But I did put this on our next joint meeting, that I would gladly vote for it tonight to give some direction to our legislator that we're interested in trying to figure out actual cost savings and some real due diligence. I think there's been lots of talk and discussion and perceived savings that may or may not be real effective, but I think there's other areas where we could pool resources and provide services for education across multiple boundaries. So,
Assemblymember Beck. Oh, well, Assemblymember Solomon was. What was that about?
Well, I presume, maybe wrongly so, that the state legislature, by virtue of their edict to represent the people, are already seeking cost-saving opportunities that do not impact the quality of our educational system. And yet I find the very title of this resolution to be oxymoronic. Anything that you do that takes money away is obviously going to, whether you want to dress it up in sheep's clothing or not, it's going to affect the quality of your educational system. So it's kind of a redundancy. It's oxymoronic. So if you want to put something with grist and substance together to go down there and tell them what to really do, they're already doing this. So does that make them look better to somebody to have something from us that says, we're not sure what you're doing, so let us tell you how to do it twice and backwards and juxtapose yourself against yourself somehow? It's just, I don't know, redundant to me. Thank you.
Assemblymember Sykes.
I had the same reaction Assemblymember Arvin had when I read it, and I agree with Assemblymember Solomon. I don't see that it really serves any useful purpose. I don't know all 60 legislators, but I do know most of them, and I don't think that any of them went down there with a specific idea of trying to make our education system worse, which is kind of what the now therefore be it resolved says, cost-saving opportunities that do not impact the quality of education. I think that our legislature should be interested in supporting anything that they can do to increase the quality of our education. So rather than kind of a negative statement, which resolutions aren't generally supposed to do, I would rather see something positive. We also have no resolution from the school district. I like Mr. Culligan's idea of taking this up jointly with the school board. You know, we've talked about transportation, but why not say that? This is, and we both have, both the Squirrel District and this assembly have lobbyists. We have made it clear that education is a clear priority. And one of the other whereases has a factual error in it that I'd be happy to address. But I just think that it's, we should just vote on it and dispense with it and come back with something more specific.
Okay, Assemblymember Culver. Oh, I'm sorry, Assemblymember Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I think it's a great idea to send something down to Juneau with these kind of matters in mind with our education program, but I love the idea of doing it in conjunction with our school district. I think, if anything, Juneau should be looking at our district for an example of how to have a great education program with the options and the opportunities that are afforded to families that live here and our students. I think we have an outstanding program here, and I think a letter, as suggested by my fellow assembly members so far, in conjunction with the school board, would be great.
Assembly Member Culver.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I agree with the rest of the body here. This needs a little bit more specificity. This could mean anything to anyone. If you were for having health care under one pool, if you wanted boarding schools, I mean, anyone who has an issue could then use our resolution for their issue. But I think we need to get more specific about reducing mandates, rolling back the high school exit exam, position and transportation, another big item that our district has identified that funding's, we're going to be into our general fund to supplement busing, whether or not we support a BSA increase, how much, just some basic specifics as guidelines. If there's issues that are more philosophical that we're going to get wrapped around the axle on, we probably no sense going down that pathway, but we either assign somebody to write one or we postpone this until we bring one back, I think.
We ready to... Oh, Assemblymember Culligan.
So I just wanted to pile a few more on there. So up for budget this time, we have things like maintenance facilities. We're looking for $15 million for maintenance facilities. We have... we buy a large amount of communication infrastructure. Are we cost-sharing those and leveraging our joint purchasing power? There's several things that I think we need to look at, and I'm looking forward to having that discussion. But it's not just purely about, I think it's a fairly broad subject that we need to force the discussion, or it's just not going to happen.
Okay, Assemblymember Harbin.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So as this discussion's going on, there may be a problem with trying to drill in and identifying specific issues. I guess I really didn't think about that early on. And I guess that's what's good about this process is I, too, can have my mind changed. Let me ask this question. If a broad statement is better served than trying to buttonhole transportation, shared maintenance, you know, BS, all the different components that can be manipulated for cost, maybe it's better that we send a broad statement and leave that work to them. I mean, I think that might have some value now that I kind of think this through. And I retract my earlier comment about this being devoid of substance. Thank you.
Thank you.
Assemblymember Sykes.
Well, I hope that my endorsement of Assemblymember Arvin's comments didn't cause him to change his mind, but
I can assure you.
Anyway, I think that this is so broad that I agree with Mr. Culligan's comment that it is really not a useful piece of resolution. It is going to, I assure you, when a legislator receives this, that it will end up in the circular file in seconds. I'm going to oppose it. Please, let's vote.
Okay. I've heard a wee bit of questions been asked for. Assemblymember Colbert.
I move to postpone till the joint meeting with the school board.
That's only if you want to keep this same language. So, okay, questions. Is there objection to closing debate? There's no objection. So, now vote on the motion, up or down. Well, you're right. There was a motion to postpone. Okay.
This is on the motion to postpone to the joint meeting with the school board is what the motion that's on the floor.
Right. I mentally ignored your motion, Assemblymember Culver. Oh, I'm sorry.
So if I can get everybody to vote again, I did reset it.
So this is on the motion to postpone.
Point of information, Madam Clerk. Where did the motion to postpone come from?
Can you clarify, so if we move it to the school board meeting, is it the same language, or are we just going to...
Well, it's the same language, and that's...
We'll hopefully have a second.
Well... Okay. Motion to postpone time certain after. Was it after or at the joint meeting?
At
the joint meeting. Okay. Well, we'll spend the whole meeting talking about the language.
Mr. Mayor, the motion failed with Assemblymember Culver in support.
Okay. The motion's on the table. A question's been called for. Is there objection to closing debate? No objection. So now, vote yes or no on the resolution.
Mr. Mayor, it failed unanimously.
Wow.
Don't let him write your legislation.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. So, at this point, we are ready for introductions, right, Madam Clerk?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Introduction for public hearing on March 18th, our ordinance serial number 14044 and ordinance serial number 14045.
And Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to introduce the legislation as read into the record by the clerk and set the public hearing for March 18th, 2014.
Is there objection? Hearing none, we have the business for our next meeting, which brings us to the vacancy report. Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Mr. Mayor. I move to approve your appointments and resignations up for confirmation this evening as follows. Borough Area Schools Site Selection Committee, Vern Rauschenstein, Tom Adams, Bill Kendig. Joint Assembly School Board Committee on School Issues, Matthew Beck. Parks, Recreation, and Trails Advisory Board, resignation of Dane Crowley. Port Commission, Christopher Gates, Helga Larson. Greater Willow, RSA number 20, Ralph Oakley. Circle View and Stampede Estates Flood and Water Erosion Control, SSA number 131, Mahana Peterson.
Okay, discussion. Objection. Hearing none, it passes. Well, there was no objection, so I think Mr. Gates will be enabled to go in swinging. So we now have comments. Mr. Attorney, any further comments?
No.
Madam Clerk?
The only thing is, I'm hoping that the Assembly is satisfied with how far we moved the podium back. I think it actually visually is better looking at the public when they're speaking there. We didn't have to do any of the special stuff I'd sent the email in.
Yeah, it saves a few steps for the people coming forward, too. I thought we were going to raise it 6 feet, but I guess that got voted down. Mr. Manager?
No.
No comments. Okay. Assemblymember Sykes?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to ask the clerk for clarification on the meeting that I requested for March 25 on the budget presentation. Is that still happening?
Okay. No, Mr. Assemblymember Sykes, it did get voted down.
Okay. That's what I wanted to clarify. Okay, so then I provided for you two letters that I received just this afternoon from a constituent that had a pretty miserable experience at the animal shelter. It seems like almost every meeting somebody comes up with something, but I don't know. We do have major legislation coming to us, and we also had delayed a minor change, but I would like to have a work session at some point. I don't know if these are customer service issues or if they are problems within the law that we have, but basically this person's dog got away and they felt intimidated and even threatened at the animal shelter by the way they were treated, and that's not good customer service. And I have a copy of the dog's medical records. They even said that that their veterinarian had prescribed wrong medicine, and these people are obviously trying to take care of the dog, which they acquired from the shelter in the first place as an elderly dog. So it was, I know that we get complaints a lot. This is something that is difficult, but I just wanted to share that with you and see if we can get a discussion at some point on that issue. The other thing I would ask for is that we have a discussion before we have the budget discussion on EMS services. As I mentioned before, we have pretty much agreed that education, EMS, and infrastructure are high priorities. And as I continue to do my fam tour across the borough and ask people what they're doing, I find that EMS and fire service come up and almost always raise to the top of people's concerns. And so I would like to have a presentation from Mr. Brodigan about how he looks out at the next 5 years and how we can solve some of our current problems, because it looks like while we may not be in emergency status, we're getting closer to it, and I don't see a resolution of the problems being resolved. I do want to let you know I checked with the attorney on this. He says we can discuss this, even with the lawsuit out there, but he's going to want us not to talk about the lawsuit in a public meeting and to talk about the policy and the management and the strategic things. So since we don't have a special budget meeting on the 25th, how about 4 o'clock for a presentation from Mr. Brodigan on the 25th?
Well, Let's take care of that. Is everybody for that, or do we want to deal with it in the budget process?
Well, that's why I wanted to. That's why I wanted a meeting before we deal with it in the budget process, so we have some idea of what we're dealing with, and we don't have to have Mr. Brodigan jump into the middle of the budget process.
Assemblymember Solomon.
Mr. Mayor, I'll fall back on that new guy thing. I do have an idea, having sat through 6 of these budget hearings, and I think it's wise that Mr. Sykes sat with Mr. Brodigan and any other assembly members that are interested in his perspective, but I don't think it's necessary to put the entire body through the thing and recommend only. I'm going to vote no if we vote on a meeting, but have Mr. Sykes get with Mr. Brodigan and get armed and dangerous before we head into budget.
Assemblymember Sykes.
Well, I just sense that there is not a common understanding of what the problems are at the present time or what the solutions may be, and those are the things that I think we need to understand before we get to budget meetings, and that's why I brought it up. So it's up to you whether you want to do it or not. Thank you.
Well, is there objection? There was a specific request to reinstate the meeting of May 5th?
March 25th at 4 p.m.
March 25th? Okay, well, let's vote then.
Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assemblymember Solomon, Halter, and Arvin opposed.
So, Madam Clerk, would you restate when it's going to be an EMS work session at 4 o'clock?
On 3/25. March 25th. It's right before the Joint Assembly Planning Commission meeting, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock. So, following up on one other thing, are you going to the animal control tour tomorrow?
Mr. Mayor, I was advised that 3 members are already there, and I will do another day.
Okay.
But I will do a tour,
okay.
But I won't do it tomorrow.
Yeah, okay. I would encourage you to take that information and get some answers then, if not before.
Yeah, I have asked the clerk to forward this, so it should be going there. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Arvin.
I guess some clarity on this work session with Mr. Brodigan. So there's a report that was recently done that's...
Please speak right into the mic.
Pretty global in its analysis of Mr. Brodigan's, what he holds stewardship over for the borough. And then we've got an analysis that's being undertaken at the same... that right now, whereby there's some math being done on leaving our emergency services largely on-call responders or moving them to some full-time positions. So having said that, my question is, are we going to have those studies and the outcome of those studies written down, and is that going to be part of the discussion, or are we just trunching Mr. Brodigan in for what purpose? I don't know what's the goal of the meeting. I didn't hear a stated goal. Other than some global, let's try to get caught up in the broader discussion of what. I don't know what it is.
Do you want to clarify some more, Mr. Sykes?
Sure. I don't think it was general at all. I think that we have, I specifically said I'd like to know what the outlook is for solving our current problems, and they are largely staffing, and it would be dealing with the amount of on-call responders that we have. If there are recommendations that he has to deal with the structure or hiring more employees, I know that there are proposals out there to do it, but I want to hear from the guy who's doing it, and I think these are pretty specific. There's identification of the problems and what his outlook is to solve them, and I don't think that's general at all. I think it's very specific.
Okay, well, we already approved it, so let's not talk all night about it. Okay. So, we're ready to move on. Assemblymember Solomon.
Yeah, I'm a little confused on the May 5th. We got the 6 o'clock meeting, is that right? And then we moved for a public hearing in front of that? I'm confused. I was taking notes here, but I don't know what that means.
The way I interpreted Assemblymember Arvin's motion was to first, at 6 p.m., the meeting's still at 6, to first hold the public hearing and then start deliberations directly after.
Okay, so not a public hearing at 4.
No,
that's
the assembly meeting.
But that's May 20.
Public hearing straight through till midnight then.
March.
Public hearing starting at 6, and then deliberations, should the assembly still want to do that on May 5th. You can start deliberations, and I'm guessing not until midnight.
Okay, that's pretty much it. I'd like to thank the manager and Mr. Sykes for coming to the Valley Recycling Center luncheon at Evangelo's last week. It was very well attended, and it was a good showing of what the people in the community really think about that facility. We do own that facility, and it has nothing but renown, and it's used. I'm very happy and was pleased with that turnout, and I hope they were too, and urge each of you, if you're not recycling, to join my wife in that endeavor. Thank you.
Assemblymember Halter.
Briefly, of course, the Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race took off, and they're off in a rough and tumble trail. It's really sad to hear to my good friend Dee Dee Johnro had to scratch and groan today. And her husband said it was just so tough. Felt like she couldn't hang on anymore. And then you leave Rowan. So that was a hard thing to see, because she's done 32 or 33 Iditarods. And many other mushers, too. I'm not just singling her out, but many other mushers have had to scratch. And so it's kind of a tough race this year. But it'll work itself out and shake itself out. And I think they're already up into cotton of some of these mushers right now. So it's a big event for our Matsu Borough and our valley. It originated here. It's got worldwide attention. It's just fun to see. You know, I was at the restart Sunday, and there's people coming from all over the world just to see this sled dog race go. So, so good luck to all the mushers.
Thank you, and thanks for emceeing that that thing. I enjoyed it on the radio. Assemblymember Colbert.
I'd like to thank the clerk and the deputy clerk for preparing the Fish and Wildlife citations. They're really well done. Appreciate that. And also asked the clerk to draft a cover letter to the Board of Fisheries members that would accompany the signature page we sent around, if there's no objection for the membership. Okay. And then trying to solve our riddle with the technology here in this building. I don't know how many teleconferences y'all have participated in. When you call into a meeting, sometimes it's dicey whether or not you can call or talk, or various technical difficulties, and then in conference rooms when we'll have a meeting or something. And I would move to direct the IT and the manager to assist the clerk in setting up the teleconference capacity for that budget public hearing in Palmer that we've now endorsed as a call-in show or opportunity for testimony.
Is that necessary, Madam Clerk?
I think it would be wonderful.
Okay.
I thought we already mandated that, but well, is there any objection to Assemblymember Culver's motion? There's no objection. So make it happen.
We will.
Okay, good. Assemblymember Culligan.
Well, as much as it pains me, I wanted to take the opportunity to thank Mr. Culliver, Assemblyman Culliver, for his hard work on the Fish and Wildlife Board and all of the hard work that our board did, and even the Board of Fish and even the Board of Game, and that's just the level of effort that is put into that preparing, and you know that they aren't paid professionals, just the volunteer time. It's solid weeks of work to sit there and do that. And I have to say, Mr. Culver, sometimes it's hard to say, but you did a great job, and I really appreciate you spearheading that. And I know we don't always agree, but on that subject, and I know the one day you feel like you got beat up on the radio, but I thought you did a great job of defending our issues and not letting the commercial fishermen drive everything. And Patty Sullivan and staff did a great job as well. But beyond that, we had several discussions tonight, and I know there's issues about not having meetings upon meetings upon meetings. But on the other hand, I think it's imperative that we get together before the budget to discuss certain things. And not getting together to talk about overall issues, I would like to schedule on the 18th during our, I believe we have a next executive session to do an interim performance evaluation of the manager and talk about the things we talked about last year and update before we go into budget, status of management restructuring and other issues that he needs to bring up with us and us have an interim review before budget happens. I think that's one thing that we can do before we head in, and I think we're maybe have to talk about him as an individual and other stuff, and I think that's one way for us to address that. And I know it's maybe a little painful, Mr. Manager, but I think that will set the tone and the framework for certain things we need to do.
I promise not to annual resolution.
I don't think the resolutions are the issue. On my third year here on the assembly, I expect certain changes, and I'd like to know when and where to expect them. And I think everybody else around the table does as well, and I'd like to see them happen. And I don't feel like doing that one on one. I think it's a collective discussion, and you need to update us, and we need to comment. And I think that's the forum. So. Do we have an executive session? Can we add that item to that?
On March 18th.
On the regular meeting agenda?
Yes.
So there's a motion to have an executive session for manager's evaluation March 18th.
Before we do that, what time is that scheduled for? Can we talk about the schedule first?
If you're doing it at the regular meeting agenda, is my guess, because there is a 4 p.m. on the economic development. Mm-hmm. I would suggest that the executive session happen the last part of the meeting, because I think it might, that's where it's at on the agenda anyways. So
we've got a ton of stuff that night though, don't we?
March 18th, I don't know about the consent agenda. It looks like we might have, I think, 4 public hearings total with LIDs. It just depends on how much stuff comes forward on the consent agenda.
I think the next one's the 1st of April. I don't know if that would be too
late.
That's
a heavier meeting than 3/18
okay, so
as of right now,
I would
yes.
like to put forth to the body an hour for direct discussion.
So for March 18th?
Correct.
Okay. Is there objection? Hearing none, congratulations, Mr. Manager. You got on the agenda. Assemblymember Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. For God so loved the world that he called a meeting to order, and I'm looking forward to the many of them to come. I'm thankful for tonight and the opportunity to be here with you, ladies and gentlemen, and the opportunity to be a part of the debate. Thank you. Thank you also to the Mat-Su Borough for sending me to Juneau last week, and I'd like to personally thank Mayor DeVilbiss, Assemblymember Culligan, and Mr. Don Dyer, of our economic director, for holding my hand and introducing me to people in Juneau and helping me get introduced to the process there. It was just a wonderful opportunity to be there and to be a part of your work there. I'd like to thank Assemblymember Sykes for drawing our attention to these letters in the orange folder that's before us. And I sat down tonight just before the meeting and read these letters and come to find out that these are two good friends of mine, a husband and wife, and what happened to them. I think when anybody walks into a Mat-Su Borough facility, they shouldn't be demeaned. I don't think they should be belittled, held hostage. I think people who work for the borough, who are elected, who are paid, are at the service of the people in the community. And I'm just kind of horrified to read this experience, and I'd encourage all of my fellow assembly members to read this, and I do hope to see a follow-up to what's been written in here. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So Mr. Culligan's executive session was the evening of March the 18th. Is that just folded in on the agenda during the regular meeting?
Correct.
It is.
Okay. I'd like to add to that, if there's no objection, an executive session discussion on the ferry.
Is there objection? Mr. Attorney?
I object. Well, unless we're discussing something and the immediate public knowledge of which would clearly have adverse financial impact on the borough, the ferry is not a proper subject. And the reason is because the manager can dispose of the ferry without assembly input. He just obviously doesn't want to. But as a matter of law, he can, so it's not a proper subject to just kind of talk about.
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Deputy Mayor, can you give us a reason to be an executive?
Refined. Yeah, so there was a discussion that took place by part of this body with executive-level folks in Washington, D.C., and I would like the status update on that meeting and what is happening with that. And that, I think, clearly is with respect to protecting the public's interest.
Mr. Attorney.
There's nothing to report, Assemblymember Arvin.
Well, we can get into it right now if you'd like, Mr. Mayor.
Well, you need to use your microphone because we're not in.
I want an update on some action items that we left that meeting with. We talked to Peter Rogoff. We talked to senior legal counsel, the highest guy for FTA that reports to the secretary, Dorval. And there was supposed to be some follow-up by the manager and, frankly, the attorney, and I want to know what's going on with those discussions. That was the purpose of my request.
Mr. Attorney?
So there has been no follow-up by the manager that I'm aware of, and I haven't received any input or direction to make that follow-up with the attorney to start the process.
Mr. Manager?
Yes, I'm... The direction that we got from Mr. Rogoff and the attorney is let's receive a letter and pay back the entire grant. I'm trying to avoid that, and when we left them and talked through that, we were trying to look at other options to mitigate that $12 million we'd have to return. Our discussions with FTA is how in the world are we going to pay back, and let's get an agreement and a letter from them to give us back our $12 million. And I'm not excited about having those discussions to pay back if there is a glimmer of hope of finding either a sale for the ferry or other ways to mitigate this ferry issue. I mean, I certainly can do it, but I'm not looking forward to bringing back, a $12 million obligation to the assembly that they have to deal with. So, I mean, I certainly, and you're right, and you're correct, we're going to have discussions, but I'm very concerned that the FTA letter will be coming forth to us, and then we don't have any options. All we have is a bill being due. We're having a heck of a time. It's not for lack of effort trying to find a buyer or a use use for the ferry. And from the discussions with FDA, it's you put it in service or you owe us back the money. And I am absolutely not recommending that we put the boat in service. And as you know, for financial situation, we don't have $12 million to turn back. So procrastination has been my plan, hoping for a brighter day. And that's been my choice.
Assemblymember Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've been following this issue very closely, as you know. So I just want to clarify from the manager that you believe that, in this sense, what we're doing right now by sort of delaying or not taking action helps preserve more of your options. Is that correct?
In essence, yes. It's just there have not been a lot of options, and I know the assembly is frustrated with this issue. But in the end of the day, the answer that I have right now is I don't think is an acceptable answer.
Thank you.
Okay, Assemblymember Colligan on the ferry.
Unfortunately, since we're discussing it, Mr. Manager, could you, I guess, at least acknowledge that we have been working with the delegation as an option to look at other ways to mitigate this? I mean, that's unfortunately what you're, I guess, what I have knowledge about versus what we're currently discussing. There's other avenues that was presented to us, and we're looking at those avenues and working with our delegation. Just leave it at that, I guess. I don't know.
Yes, that is correct. But then again, it's having somebody else intervene on our behalf. They're working towards that, but there is nothing solid. I'm hoping that there will be. I think there's opportunity. Myself and attorney have had those discussions. We have looked at on finding some insight and some help. We hope that's coming, but I don't have anything, you know, tonight to say, hey, this is going to happen. And since we had the incident about this time last year, where we had a solid offer, a signed offer, and then the party walked away, I'm very hesitant on, as I think has been described as blue sky, and mostly it's just blue smoke. When I come, I want to give you something solid that is not a $12 million reimbursement.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I know this is a very terrible topic, and I guess I feel more and more as time goes on that it's much of the same discussion that we've been having for so long now. And when you add up the amount of money that we've spent to date and the amount of money that we continue to burn every month without any real substantive, bona fide anything, we're just caught in this cycle of doing nothing. That's where we are. I've come to terms with that a long time ago. That's why I keep voting no for these recurring appropriations for the monthly storage. What is happening today is what was happening when we hired you, Mr. Moosey. And again, believe me, I'm not laying this issue at your doorstep. It's this body's responsibility to do something with that asset, and we're not doing anything with it. It's kind of like this thing that's behind the curtain, and the only time we talk about it is when the new 2-month or 30-day cycle appropriation to pay Ketchikan to store it comes up. We've got to do something.
Mr. Arvin, we're waiting for you to tell us what to do.
Okay. If it comes to me making the decision to do, then I'll present a decision.
Assemblymember Sykes, did you have a comment?
I would just say that the things that have happened we've reduced our storage costs down to about a third. I have been an advocate of selling as soon as possible, but I think you're an astute businessman yourself, and you know the value of creating relationships and doing negotiations, and if you roll everything out in public, we may have the same result the last time we thought we had an agreement. And so I'm willing to wait a while, but I still want reports like you do. So that's my comment.
So I guess it's down to me. I will be writing a letter to the Board of Fish and Game, thanking them for their action. I apologize for not making. I was scheduled to go to the recycling dinner, and I had a very late conflict came up. So apologize for that. It's not that I nothing against recycling. I did attend the last 2 days. Very interesting. Highly technical presentation along with engineers and installers, people in the business of working with biomass. Very fascinating. We are going to see our timber resources being used in highly efficient, very beneficial ways in this barrel before it's over. I'm really excited about what's coming down the road on that. With that, if there's no objection, we're going to close the meeting and adjourn.